Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Welcome to another week of InfoPoems. Last week, we looked at the issue of biomarkers and looked at whether they can predict coronary heart disease. This week's poem helps us to understand whether one of those proposed interventions, folic acid, can reduce coronary vascular disease, presumably by reducing homocysteine levels. We know a lot about folic acid from our hematology course way back when. We know that deficiency of folic acid causes megaloblastic anemia by altering DNA synthesis in hemopoietic cells. Now, folic acid, if you remember, is found in animal products and in leafy vegetables. The daily folate requirement for an adult is about 50 micrograms a day. Folate enters the plasma and is rapidly cleared in the liver and other cells. And at physiologic level, folate enters the cells by binding to a specific folic acid receptor. But today, the interesting point is that folic acid has been shown to decrease homocysteine, a marker of coronary artery disease. This week's poem, does folic acid supplementation decrease morbidity or mortality from coronary artery disease? What do you say, Mark?
It's certainly tempting to believe this based on the physiology of it. It sounds like it makes sense, but of course the question is, does it really make a difference regarding patient-oriented outcomes? This was a meta-analysis published in JAMA and included every clinical trial in the literature on the use of folic acid to reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease. They found 12 studies that randomized a total of 17,000 patients to folic acid versus either placebo or usual care. About half of the studies were double-blinded. They were generally fairly well-designed studies. The folic acid dose ranged from half a milligram to 15 milligrams a day and was typically around 5 milligrams per day. All the patients had either heart disease, a history of stroke, or end-stage renal disease, so this was a fairly high-risk group. The studies followed patients for as little as 6 months or as long as 5 years. Now, the goal of giving folic acid, as you said, is to reduce homocysteine levels because it's a biomarker associated with cardiovascular risk. Since people with higher levels have more heart attacks, it makes sense that maybe lowering these levels will protect them. And in each study, patients given folic acid did, in fact, lower their homocysteine levels. Well, so far so good, but making a number look better doesn't necessarily make our patients feel better or live longer. When the researchers pooled the data from all 12 studies, all 17,000 patients, and looked at the risk of heart disease or stroke or death, they found no benefit from folic acid supplementation.
What we're looking at here is what you'd call a surrogate marker?
That's right. Yeah, there are all sorts of biochemical pathways in the body with, you know, hundreds and thousands of markers. And just because some of these go up or down in association with a disease doesn't mean that they cause it. And it doesn't mean that modifying them or lowering them improves the real clinical outcomes that our patients care about.
So last week we learned that homocysteine actually isn't a particularly good predictor of coronary artery disease. And this week what you're suggesting is that if we lower homocysteine, it also is not protective?
That's right. And there have actually been some other studies, looking at cocktails of B vitamins and folate to, again, try and manipulate homocysteine levels in very high-risk patients. And some of those have actually found harm. For example, after angioplasty, patients given a cocktail of these vitamins in high doses actually had somewhat worse outcomes in some studies. So just because something makes physiologic sense doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to benefit our patients, and we do have to study these things.
So is the bottom line, are we at the point where we can say definitively that adding folic acid, at least specifically for the purpose of reducing homocysteine, does not make sense?
I'm comfortable saying that. Again, the existing evidence just doesn't support that theory. Of course, we want folic acid in our diet. It has other benefits, but to do these very high-dose replacements specifically lower homocysteine just doesn't make sense.
Are there any natural substances that we can encourage our patients to take that will reduce coronary artery disease?
Well, there's several that have been studied. The evidence about omega-3 fish oils was promising, but is becoming less promising over time. There were some studies early on in a meta-analysis back in 2002 that found some benefit of these fish oils in preventing heart disease, particularly in patients at risk for arrhythmias. But a more recent meta-analysis, actually I believe two of them, have found less or no benefit. We know that high-dose vitamin E, which was long recommended, doesn't help and may actually be harmful. There are data from some small studies in high-risk patients that suggest that coenzyme Q10 may have some benefit, but it hasn't been studied in the general population, and I wouldn't be comfortable recommending it for everyone or for low-risk patients till we have some actual data. As far as lowering cholesterol, there are a lot of supplements like garlic and oatmeal that lower cholesterol, but we have no idea whether that translates into better clinical outcomes. Now, I eat oatmeal every morning, and I cook with garlic almost every night, but that's because I like them, not because I'm convinced they're going to help me live any longer.
Well, I'm glad I'm talking with you on a telephone and not sitting very close to you. Mark, thank you very much for your time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, talk to you next week. Thanks, Mike.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.